extra mic. All right. If you would just extend your hands. Thank you, Laura. Laura, we do honor your friend, number one, Jesus, your best friend. Your absolutely best friend. Your intimate one. The one you enjoy spending time with. Not because he's a minister, not because he's an evangelist, not because he's a missionary. But number one and always is because he is your best friend, dear friend. And so as friends of Dan, we bless him, Lord. We bless him with every blessing from heaven of health and provision and friendships. Bless everywhere his feet touch, Lord. Every person he meets. Lord Jesus, you are so real in Dan and through Dan. And so we bless especially the young generation, Alpha, Z. The young ones, Lord, 25 and under, all around the world. That you would ignite in their hearts what ignited in Dan's heart when he was 16. Do it again, Lord. We know a transformed heart is the most powerful thing on the earth. A transformed heart by the fire and love of Jesus. And so we ask that in the coming days and weeks and months of Dan's travel, that he would multiply himself. That you would multiply other Dans all around the world. With a heart of intimacy, a heart of just radical obedience, a heart of trust in the goodness of God the Father. Bring that transformation all around the world, Lord. We bless our dear friend and we ask that you would speak through him today. We thank you, Lord, for your best friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow, thank you, John. That's so nice. Ha ha. Good morning, or afternoon, I guess. How are you? Good? Yes, it is good to be back at Rock Church. And I've had the privilege to come here, I don't know, over 15 years. Yeah, and I love being able to come back, and I love being able to build some friendships. Many of you I know, some of you I would love to get to know. But I love coming here, and I want to just say thank you as well. You guys have been behind me, not just with your prayers, but also financially over the years. And yeah, I'm just overwhelmed. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You might not know what you do with some of your missionaries, but man, yeah, we are just so blessed. I am so blessed and thankful for all. Whoa, you got a video here. Is this live or is it just taping? Oh, Facebook. Oh, nice. Yes. But yeah, just thank you guys for all that you do. Thank you for, yeah, just being a part of my life. Yeah, I grew up and I heard that God was good. And I got older and I realized that's not the best way to say it. But a better way is that he's really good. And then I got older and I'm like, I don't think that's the best way. I think a better way is that he's really, really good. Like Jesus is really, really, like really, 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 like really, really, really good. Amen? Tell that to your neighbor. Isn't that what we want to believe? Could it be that the Christian life is that simple? Okay, Dan, but it gets more complicated and there's more situations. Oh, yeah, there are. But guess what? It can stay that simple. You just add another really. Add another really. That's the Christian life. And yes, there's many reasons why it might not seem that simple. But the more I walk with Jesus, the more I am invited to simplicity. And not just simplicity as a theory, not just simplicity as a way of life. No, no, no. I'm invited to simplicity, and that I live in that simplicity again and again and again and again. So no matter what yesterday was, no matter what last week was, no matter what a month from now is, today we can be simple. Amen. Just discovering the love of God, and it changes everything. And that's very much been my journey as I walked with Him. Oh, I could tell you so many stories from the time since I was here last. God is good. I had the privilege to go to Brunei this year. Who's heard of Brunei? It's over there. Yes, a tiny little Muslim nation in Southeast Asia. And I was sitting talking with my mom. I'm working a lot with my mom. I'm with her actually in Hawaii, and that's where she is. And she's 85. And we're sitting there 4 months ago, and I'm talking to her. I'm like, Mom, what are your dreams as you get older? She goes, well, one dream I never told you is that 25 years ago, I felt God say that I should go to Brunei. I'm like, you never told me. She goes, no, I never told you because I don't know. I'll probably never go. And I'm like, Mom, why don't we go to Brunei? And she's like, oh, we could never go. I'm like, Mom, why not? And in September, I took my mom to Brunei. And she got to see the fulfillment of a dream for 25 years in her life that she thought, oh, I don't know, I don't know. And we got to go to Brunei. God is so good. Yeah, we had to figure out exactly where it was and how to get there. But they got an airport, which means they got planes. Yeah, less than half a million, over five, well, what's the numbers? Under 500,000 people. And yeah, it's 100% Muslim, they say. Very much a strict Muslim nation, but it's actually not that way when you get on the ground. And I met some people who had done something with Youth with the Mission before, and we spent the whole day with them, and God is moving in Brunei. Yeah, they got a new airport. They're really opening it up to business with Singapore and other places. As so much of their population is Chinese background. They go on weekends to Malaysia as they're connected to Malaysia. And all this, I heard that they're so close and they're just like just a Muslim place that you can't even touch. And no, 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 it's opening up. And I was so encouraged to walk the streets and believe for a new day. And that's what I got to take my mom, and what a privilege. It was also in September that Youth with the Mission had its first gathering. Again, those of you who don't know, I've been with YWAM for 35 years. And that's the mission organization family that God brought me to be with. And we just had our first international gathering in September, about 5,000 people gathering from 110 nations. And God is moving in YWAM. Yes, we lost our founder last year, Lauren Cunningham, but today we are in 180 nations, and we have, yeah, about 800 schools a year that where we're training young people to go into all the world to preach the gospel. Got about 20,000 still full-time staff around the world, and yeah, God is moving in YWAM. And we hadn't been together for many years because of COVID. We got together in September, and it was so beautiful just to see these different expressions. Most of the people on stage were from other countries. Most of them were young, you know. We want to stay Youth with a Mission, you know. And they still accept me. God bless them. But yeah, it's so fun to be in an organization that is really, really committed to young people. And I love where it started, because it all started over 70 years ago. Okay, Lauren Cunningham is in the Bahamas, and he's 19 years, or yeah, he might have been 20 or 21, But he's in the Bahamas, and he's sitting there, and he gets this open vision. And the vision was waves crashing on the shores of every nation on the earth. And in these waves, in the vision, it was millions and millions of young people going to all the world to preach the gospel. And that's the vision he had. He went back to the leaders in his church denomination, and they didn't know what to do. So Lauren knelt down at a cross and said, "Jesus, I don't know what to do, but I have to live and do what you've asked." And that's how Youth with a Mission started. And today, YWAM is all over the world. And yeah, we've been to every nation, and we are raising up more young people because, yeah, God wants to send people all over the earth. Ha ha, amen. So yeah, that's just really the foundation of who we are as YWAM and what God's doing. So much is going on. I had the privilege just to go to Sri Lanka. Do you know where Sri Lanka is? It's over there. South of India. And yeah, privileged to go there. We don't have a lot of workers there with Youth of the Mission right now in Sri Lanka. And God spoke to me and my friends to go. And so I flew into Sri Lanka. As I was planning the plan, I had a friend from Nepal who felt he should come as well. And we were talking and praying. And as we're talking and praying, God says, "Give him $700. And he's like, "Yeah, Dan, I've been praying and thinking of coming, but I don't think I'm supposed to come." And I'm like, "Okay, well, if you come, I feel like God told me to give you money." He goes, "Well, let me look at tickets." He looks at tickets and he says, "Dan, it's a lot of money. I don't know. I got a ticket for $695. I said, "Brother, about half an hour ago on, as we were talking, the Holy Spirit said, give you $700. He's like, "It's ticket and a coffee." So we just went to Sri Lanka. As I brought him, he's from a vibrant community of YWAMers in a place called Pokhara, Nepal, where he works. He has gone back to Pokhara, and in the last 6 months, they have sent 3 teams down to the place where we were in southern Sri Lanka. And next year, they're sending 10 Nepalis long-term to reach Sri Lanka. It doesn't happen if he doesn't come, you know? And I just love that connection, those little connections as you walk with God. Part of walking with God is just seeing God do, yeah, just way bigger than we could imagine. It's been in the last year that God spoke to me to go to Greenland. I don't know if you know where Greenland is. It's over there. Yeah, somewhere. And God had spoke to me to go, and my friends and I were praying. It was many months before we went. And so the plan was, in our busy lives, that we would rendezvous in this place called Iceland at the airport, because that's where the connecting flight was. So we get there. There's 4 of us planning to go. The flight was at 5 in the evening. We're in the transit lounge in Iceland. And as we're there, right before the flight is announced, on the marquee, it says, "All flights to Greenland are canceled because of weather there." So we call the airline. They're like, "Yes, all flights are canceled to Greenland because of the weather." We're like, "Okay, what do? We have boarding passes." They said, "Yes, we can give you a hotel for one night, but then tomorrow, most likely, they will all be canceled again because of weather." So we go to the hotel. In the morning, we call Icelandic Air, and they're like, "Yep, all flights to Greenland are canceled today." So me and my friends are in a circle thinking, okay, we got to cancel all our flights to Greenland because we didn't have a lot of time and make new plans. So we're standing in a circle, just 4 of us praying. As we're praying, I look at my friends. I'm like, "What do you feel?" They're like, "I feel God says go back to the airport." And I looked at another friend. I'm like, "Yeah, I got the word airport." And they look at me and I'm like, "Yeah, I think we're supposed to go to the airport. I mean, there's no flights, but it doesn't hurt to go to the airport." So we go back to the airport. As we get to the airport, knowing there's no flights to Greenland, we walk to the head of the airport. And we said, "Sir, we called the airline. They say there's no flights to Greenland today. We just want confirmation from you. He goes, yeah, 100% no flights to Greenland today because of weather there. We're like, thank you. So we get in a circle, us four again. Lord Jesus, what do we do next? And my friend says, I think we're supposed to wait. And I'm like, how long? And he goes, at least 3 hours. I'm like, okay. So I look at my friend. He goes, yeah, I feel peace about that one too. I said, okay. So we all decide to wait 3 hours. About 2 hours later, I feel something buzzing on my phone. I take it out, and it's a boarding pass for 5 p.m. that day to Greenland from the airport. So I walk to the head of the airport. I said, sorry, sir, just to confirm, I know you said there's no flights to Greenland today. He goes, yep, no flights today. I said, what do I do with this boarding pass? And I show it to him. He looks at me and says, I don't know. I'm like, okay. So I get back with my friends, and we're just sitting in a circle. What do we do? What do we do? And as we're praying, we realize we all had the same boarding pass. And with a boarding pass and without having luggage, we could at least go through security to transit because we don't have to check in bags if there's no plane. So we do that. We go through security. And we're in the security or in the transit area walking around 1 hour before our scheduled flight the day before to Greenland. On the marquee from nowhere comes this 5 p.m. flight to Greenland. So we walk to the gate. There's one lady at a computer. Sorry, ma'am. We talked to the head of the airport. They said there's no flights to Greenland today. She's like, she starts laughing. There is a flight. Really? Why doesn't the airport know? She goes, oh, we haven't told them yet. How does that work? She goes, well, we just got the clearance 15 minutes ago from Greenland that we could come, and we got a plane, and we got pilots, and we're going to Greenland. And I show her my boarding pass. I said, is this real? She goes, yo, yeah, that's real. Come along. And we decided to go. There was only 8 of us that were there on the plane. It sat over 100. Nobody else was there. They didn't know there was a flight. So it was 4 of us and 4 others. One of the others was a girl who was a what they call First Nation person in Greenland, like an Eskimo or a local from Greenland. So we got to know her. The next day we're there in Greenland, we decide to go see her at her work. As we're going, we feel like God said, get her a Bible, as there's a local Greenlandic Bible that you could get. And so we did. And we gave her a Bible in the Greenlandic language. As she took it, we walked away. 3 months later, she texts my friend, I read the book you gave me, and I gave my life to Jesus. 1 month after that, she writes us and says, it looks like everybody in the book was supposed to get baptized, so I got baptized. That's who Jesus is, amen? Why would Jesus send us around the world? Because he wanted that girl, amen? He wanted that girl. That's who Jesus is. And he rearranged our life so that that girl would come into the kingdom. That's what Jesus is doing. Oh, I could tell you so many stories about what he's doing. But he's on the move and he's moving around the earth. Many of you know my story. You've heard my story. I can't get away from it. As I look back at my life and look back at who God is and his goodness, it really all started when I was 16. And when I was 16, a man came to my church and this is what he said. He said, whatever you do for God needs to come from intimacy with God. I'm like, okay, well, how do you get this intimacy with God? And I remember that afternoon I found a river outside and I started throwing these rocks in the river. And I started to ask myself, how do you get this intimacy with God? Like, how does that work? And as I'm throwing these rocks, a simple voice comes into my mind. Hey, Dan, can I throw rocks with you? I'm like, what was that? So I kept throwing rocks. Intimacy is like friendship. Can I be friends with God? Can I be friends with God like I'm friends with a friend? How do you get that? And I'm throwing these rocks and I hear it a second time. Hey, Dan, can I throw rocks with you? I'm like, what was that? And as I kept throwing these rocks, I'm trying to understand, how do you get this real relationship with God? And I kept hearing this question, Dan, can I throw rocks with you? So I remember I finally stopped. I'm like, Jesus, of course you can throw rocks with me if that's you, but why? Why do you want to? And that's when I felt Jesus look down from heaven and said, this right to my heart, because you want to. I'm like, that's it? He's like, that's it. And for the first time in my life, I discovered that Jesus likes Dan. Dan did not like Dan. Why would Jesus like Dan? I always thought Jesus was waiting for Dan to do something important. No, Dan just like God, just like me. He likes you. He keeps telling me he likes you. Tell your neighbor Jesus likes you. Amen. Tell your neighbor Jesus likes me. Like is a little different than love, isn't it? When I discovered the unconditional love of God that day, it changed my life. I meet two kinds of Christians as I travel. Those that are living for the Father's approval, and those that are living from the Father's approval. So many Christians, if I just do a little bit more, God will be happy with me. And those of us who are discovering, no, I'm in. And we can live our whole life from this reality. What I didn't know when that happened to me is that my whole life would be a continual revelation of the love of God. Like, it's, that's why it's getting really, really, really good, is because the love of God is better and better than I thought. It's that simple. And my journey has looked like this. Many days I wake up. Jesus, good morning. What should I do? And God says, Dan, good to see you. We'll talk about that later. But first, here's more of my love. Ha ha. And life goes on. Many days I wake up, I'm like, okay, God, I know you love me, but let's get to the real stuff, like, of what should I do? And God's like, Dan, good to see you. We'll talk about that later, but first, here's more of my love. No, God, I want to get on with other things. The love of God is an unending ocean. The Christian life is to wake up and let him love you again and again and again and again. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow, but my prayer for you is that you would let Jesus love you, that you would let the love of God overwhelm you, that you would let the love of God just blow you away. You ever wake up and think it's like an ordinary day, like a normal day? Watch out. Watch out. You know that day that you knew that you knew that you knew in your heart that the love of God was real? He's the same right now. That's who Jesus is. And the Christian life is to wake up on a normal day and watch out. God's been teaching me and encouraging me as I walk with him. I used to see this in kids growing up, and I love it. Is I used to see kids when they get out of bed, just excited for the day. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had that? Wouldn't it be awesome if that was like not contrived, but it just was something you can't help? The more I get to know Jesus, the more I realize it's what he has for us. The more I realize that's what he wants for us. And the more I walk with him, the more I discover it. It doesn't matter ups and downs of life. It just matters about what am I looking at. And as I prayed for you this morning, I felt again specifically where God's been challenging me so much in my own personal life. It's just a lot of very simple things. And it's simply, what are we thinking about and what are we looking at? And the wonderful invitation of God is that simple. Like, what are we going to continue to look at? Colossians 3:1, to set your mind on things above where Christ is seated. When I heard that scripture growing up, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And the more I thought about it, the more I thought about a simple word, the word set. I grew up being told to set the table. Now here's the question. When you set the table for dinner with all the plates and forks and knives and spoons, where are those spoons and cutlery? Where is everything 5 minutes after you set the table? Still on the table. What does that mean? Paul would admonish us and say this, set your mind on things above and keep it there. Keep it there. And that's really the challenge, isn't it? We want to set our minds on things above, but what about this? But I got to deal with this. But I got this. And Paul would admonish us and say, no, no, no. Set it there and keep it there. Keep it there. Another way to look at it would be Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Verses that I grew up hearing. Don't worry about anything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I grew up hearing that, but as I got older, all of a sudden life got more complicated. Okay, yeah, that's a scripture, but how does that work? And in the last few months, God has just simply been saying, Dan, it doesn't change. It has to do with my view of God. Could I give it to God and the peace of God pass my understanding? Okay, I thought that when life was this complicated, but when it's this complicated, and God's like, I can do the same thing. No matter what's happened in our lives, no matter what's going on, it remains the simplicity of give it to God and the peace of God which will surpass your heart and mind. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the admonition again of Paul again and again and again is encouraging us, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Again, Romans 8:1, never let that get away from your heart as well. Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's not about, okay, I haven't been thinking about God enough and you feel bad. No, it's never that. What he wants is, because I haven't been thinking about him, is simply an invitation to think about him again. You can say hi. You don't have to feel condemned. You don't have to feel condemned that you haven't been thinking about him. No, it's simply an invitation to think about him because he really, really likes you. Amen? And that's the Christian life. And that's how Paul admonishes us. You don't have to walk in condemnation because of what you haven't done. No, you can just simply say, hey, Jesus. Ha ha, hey. Ha ha. Yeah. God wants good things for us more than we want for ourselves. God wants to bless you more than you deserve to be blessed. Amen. That's who God is. Ha ha. And the more I get my mind on the fact that God has better things for me than I would ever want for me, oh my gosh, that changes my life. But then I always want to go to, oh, what I should have done, what I didn't do, what I need to do. And the more I understand his heart, the more I realize I can't go there. Why? Because that's not him. That's me condemning myself. It's me feeling bad about what I did. But if I look at who God is and what he's saying, he simply loves me and wants to give his heart and life to me and love to me. And he doesn't want me to be focusing on and thinking about all those other things, but to simply gaze at him. Like, what would we do right now if Jesus walked into this church? I would quit talking. Sorry. All of us would quit thinking about what we thought about earlier. All of us would quit thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon. Why? It's Jesus. Ha ha. And he's with us. Amen. All the complications of my life, all of a sudden it would slowly like not matter. It's Jesus. however we respond, we just get excited. Amen. What if God just wants it that way, you know? What if he wants it that way? And the more I get to know him, the more I think he really does. If I gave you two options of two things, $20 or $2,000, and you had to choose only one, which would you choose? $2,000. If not, we should talk. So when you take it and you don't get the 20, are you going to worry about the 20 you didn't get? No, why? Because what you got was so much better. Could Jesus be that much better? Could he be that much better than your problems getting fixed? Could he be that much better than things working out? Could he be that much better than this happening? The more I look at him and the more I stare at him, the more I'm realizing, yeah, he actually is better. I wanted to make life more complicated or kind of get beyond that to other deeper things. The deeper thing is simply being with him and knowing him and knowing that it goes deeper and deeper with him. It's been the journey of my life. You guys have heard a lot of my story. Yeah, I just thought about even this morning, talked a little bit about my time in college. That's where it really started with me to really go deeper with God. I had gone to a Wheaton College, and it was there that I had looked at my heart, like, why was I doing this, going to this university? And I thought, okay, it's Christian, so I'll grow in the Lord. And then they, you know, I know they have a good education, that'll be good for me. And it's Christian, so it's all Christians there, so I have a lot of friends. So I looked at my heart, like, why am I doing this? I thought, okay, I'm going for the right reasons. I got there in the first 3 weeks, everything was going wrong, okay? First of all, they really study there, okay? Like, I'm from the beach, I'm from LA, and we don't study so much, so yeah. I was failing half my classes. And then, yeah, I wasn't making friends, that wasn't working out. And yeah, they had these chapels, he talked about Jesus, I don't know. I thought the speakers were boring, so I had to go, so I tried to sit behind a tall guy so I could hide, you know. And this was my life. And I kept looking at my heart like, no, I came here with the right reasons, and it's just going like this. So I'm thinking, okay, God's going to come through. And it's right at that moment that I broke my arm playing football. I broke this arm in 4 pieces, okay? I still have screws there, and I still don't have the full rotation of my arm. I was in the hospital for 5 days, and then I had a cast for 4 months. And I'll never forget going back to my dorm with my cast. And I'm looking up to Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, I came here for the right reasons. Everything's going wrong. Did I miss it? Did I not hear you? I think I'm supposed to still be here, but I just don't know. And now I thought, okay, God's going to do something, and it got worse. How does that work? And wonderful Jesus asked me 2 questions. He said, does your broken arm take away your relationship with me? I'm like, no. And then he asked the big question. Is your relationship with me everything? I'm like, it's supposed to be. And God got me right here. What I was saying was, God, you changed this and this and this in my life. Then we're good. Yeah, God, you promised this. You promised this. Yeah, I can't wait. And God was like, what if I'm so much more beautiful than anything you're experiencing? That no matter what happens, you can be doing well simply because you have me. And I'm like, God, I don't know, but I just went after God. I started to live out these simple principles of turning my eyes on Jesus. And all I know is he started to meet me. And as I was a couple weeks in, all of a sudden, things shifted. And I remember a month later, God had met me. God had touched my heart. And I looked at my life a month later. and I had a broken arm. I still had no friends. The chapters were still boring. I was still failing my classes. But life was awesome. How can life get awesome when our circumstances don't change? Jesus. Jesus. And that's always the invitation, you know? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. All the complications that we all face, yeah, they'll grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Ha ha, yeah. Yeah. Many of you know my story of being in prison in Iran. Many years ago, I was in prison for 9 weeks. I got out, in case you're wondering. My friends tell me, quit telling that joke. No, I like that joke. But it was there in prison that I had to wrestle with these same things. It wasn't more complicated. Situation was more complicated, but it wasn't what was going on with God. And through my days there, I had to look at Jesus, not look at my circumstances. And it transformed my heart to when he let me go, you know. And my life has had this again and again. Many of you have heard all my story of 8 years ago when I fell off a cliff, was declared dead, fell 60 feet off a cliff, full-on brain injury, had to be medevaced from one island in Hawaii where I fell to the main hospital where they did the surgery. After that, the surgeon came out and said, yeah, Dan lost 65% of his blood, so he won't live through the night. We're so, so sorry. Such a crazy amount of miracles. We're 2 weeks of ICU, and then all of a sudden twitching, which led to more twitching and finally coming back. And I'll never forget when they sent me to rehab. The rehab was not to get better. The rehab was only to learn how to live as a vegetable. The doctor had been very clear, because of the nature of my brain injury, I would never get out of bed again. I would never talk again. I would never have the normal things that we have in life. And I remember those months that I was there at rehab. I call it some of the best times of my life with Jesus. Because all I wanted in those days was the same thing I wanted at college. Was the same thing I needed or wanted at in prison. Was God change the circumstance, because that's the only way that it'll get better. And I remember there and lying in that bed, I just like, God, I'll never walk again. They said I'll never get out. I don't know. And I had one choice, and that was, what was I going to look at? And I turned my eyes to Jesus again. And I'll never forget those days. At first it was so hard, but as I simply stared at Jesus, something started to happen. Transformation started to happen, not because of circumstances, but because of who he is. Yeah. The doctor said I was the fastest healing patient he'd ever seen. And wonderful Jesus had healed me. They sent me home after 6 weeks. And he's not a Christian. He had never seen anything like it. But what it was going on in me is, what was I looking at? What was I looking at? And there's no condemnation, friends. None at all. But God sent me here today, and I wanted to simply say thank you. But I think from the Lord, may he invite us. Let's look at him again. And if it's been hard to look at him, keep looking at him. You know? If my mind doesn't go to peace and joy in 5 minutes, I shut down all the analyzation. Why? Because I will not let my mind run my life. I want my life run by heaven. I want it run by who Jesus is. And I always am switching my mind back to Jesus. Not in condemnation of why hadn't I done it yet. No, no, no. It's simply the joy of looking at him and discovering who he is. And as I walk with him, yeah, he's just more than I could ever dream. And that's my prayer for all of us. That, yeah, the best times of your life with Jesus. What if it the next 3 months are the best 3 months of your life with Jesus? Really? Amen. because he hasn't changed. Amen. I want that for my life. Amen. Woo. We love you, Jesus. We love looking at you, and we want to keep looking at you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for who you are. Yeah. Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, let's stand. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we love the thought of what would we do if you walked in here. I love that thought. And you're not far away. You're not far away. Thank you, God. You never want to stop coming. You never want to stop meeting us. You never don't want to stop encountering who we are. Yeah. You don't look down and say, yeah, where have you been? No, you look down and just simply say hi. And I pray, God, today, no matter where my friends are at, thank you, God, for who they are and how they are a part of what you're doing through my life and other people's lives around the world. But God, I don't know where they're going to be tomorrow, but you do. You do. You know what's going on in their world. Yeah. Help us turn to you again and again, Jesus. Help it not get old, the simplicity of turning to you. May it not become, yeah, okay, I've already done that. Lord, may it never get old. Thank you for the joy of keeping it simple our whole lives. Looking to you again and again and again. Yeah, there's no one like you, God. There's no one like you. You're better than we thought, God. You're better. And we just want that, God. Yeah. Yeah, as we start worshiping God, if you want prayer, feel free to come forward. And yeah, also, I want to invite you to feel free to come forward if you want to get on your, just pray on your own here. It's a time to meet with God. It's a time to meet with Him. Because He's here and He's with you and He's with us. In the simplicity of the gospel, He wants it to go so deep inside of us again and again and again. That day that you knew it was real, He's the same right now. He knows your reality. He knows your situation. He's with you. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Let's just start worshiping Jesus.
Have refreshments as well, so you can linger here, get some prayer, but you're also welcome to come, go to my left for refreshment.
You again and again. got just one hope. With my arms just wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, so that I have is enough. Hallelujah. I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. So come on, my song, don't you get shy on me. Dug a song. You got a line inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a line inside of those lungs. Get up and Hallelujah.